the Smart Way Dalton Behring 5th Quarter Fan Reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now,
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Tennessee hangs on, wins 27-24, and hangs on is the optimal term tonight as the Vols get a win tonight in a game that looked like it was going to be 52-14 at one point. I said on Twitter tonight, this is why I love college football, because you just don't know, and some people on Twitter were going, you must watch something totally different than I do. I said, it's maddening, but you got to give those kids a lot of credit from South Carolina, because the easy thing to do would have been to fold it up, and they didn't. They hung in there. They did what they had to do. And, hey, I tip my cap to South Carolina tonight. I know that's not going to be probably not going to be the way that many of us are going to respond tonight in Rocky Top. I'm not going to tell you how to respond. I never do. But, in my opinion, I give South Carolina a lot of credit. I get Russell Smith in here from The Drive. Russell, give me a few thoughts on what we saw, and then we'll get right into the phone calls.
Well, I think South Carolina was ready to lay down and do the job there early in the first quarter, and then you had the Dobbs fumble, which was a game changer. I think if he holds on to that and Tennessee goes down there and makes it a three-score game in the first quarter, I think it's Katie Barr the door time. I think Tennessee hangs half a hundred on them, and it's not even close. But that's what we've seen from this team.
I hate to oversimplify the game of football, but to me, at this level, it comes down to this. Winners win and losers lose. Winners do winning things when it's time to win games. Losers do losing things when it's time to lose games. And the hallmark of a program that's starting to turn a corner is when you can turn the ball over three times in your building and still get out of there with a victory with several drop passes. And Carolina's one turnover happens when? Right
when the
at
game's
the
all
very
the
end, just like us against Alabama.
Well,
same deal.
I mean, that might be true, but if Tennessee's playing another group of winners, they probably get beat tonight. I mean, they made enough mistakes to lose.
But
the
that's
ball
not
game.
That's not the point, though. The point that's not who you're playing. I mean, the point is you got to play what's in
fortunate.
Front of you.
You're fortunate. Yeah,
you got to play what's in front of you.
Very fortunate to win tonight.
And they've got to get better. We all know that. This team's got to get better. So, and the coaching staff has to get better. One of the knocks on these guys have been that they tend to lose their focus. Especially the offensive staff, they tend to lose their way sometimes. And tonight, I thought that when Carolina took their running game away, man, you got to respond to that sooner. You got to start attacking the middle of the field sooner than they did. Once they did, they were able to move the football.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising. You know, you want to be bullheaded about it and just line up and run it. But, yeah, I mean, they lose some aggression when they get that two or three score lead, and it's cost them time and time again, and hopefully they learn, but at this point I don't know that we should be holding our breaths.
What in the world am I hearing here?
It's your laptop.
Oh, it's my stupid laptop. All right.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out what
Netflix
I'm doing.
Netflix and
here.
Chill in the middle of the fifth quarter? Come on, Tony.
Better than that. Russell, why won't these guys throw the ball deep over top of the defense? They did tonight with Malone, and he dropped the pass right in his hands. You got to throw the ball up. Let your guys go make a play. I don't know. I'm going to go to the phones.
I don't think it's Dobbs' strength. I don't think it's his forte, but I'm with you. I mean, I'd like to see it, you know, at least once a half to keep the defense honest. Josh Malone, you got to catch that ball, man.
So much to talk about.
That's why you're here.
So much to talk about off tonight's victorious effort for the Volunteers, who climbed a now a 500 record in the league, which is pretty respectable. Let's get Sean Sinclair in here.
Been a while since they've been 500 in the league in November.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, man, this was a game last year. The Vols lose this game. You can mark that down. Last year, Tennessee would have lost that game right there.
They lose that game in September.
This is proof to me that they're taking a step, just like Florida today. Florida had a kid go out there and kick a field goal who literally, from the distance he made the field goal from, I think was something like 2 of 9, and he went out and made the field goal to beat Vanderbilt today. I bring Sean Sinclair in here. Cinco, welcome in. Smartway, Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Tony.
First thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones.
Well, I thought it was a pretty easy analysis on the game. It's very much like you saw Vanderbilt in Florida, like you said, but it's very much like when we played at Alabama the past couple weeks. I mean, a couple weeks ago. It's when you're in the SEC, when you drop from 100% effort and concentration to 70%, you got a fight on your hands. And I think once we scored two touchdowns quickly, it looked like it was just going to be a blowout. There was an obvious drop in intensity on Tennessee's part. That's not enough for us to roll someone even as inept as South Carolina is. And then, you know, we just kind of had to hold on. I think I saw us throw downfield quite a bit. They were just bad throws. Malone broke up an interception in the end zone. There was about a 25-yard pass, four verticals, Vaughn Pearson didn't get his head around, wasn't paying attention. On and on and on. You saw a stupid penalty. It was the Brian Randolph. That's flat out a stupid penalty.
You can't do that.
Last year. It was a stupid penalty. What it looked like to me was it looked like he had a cock shot on Pharaoh Cooper and he was going to take it.
That's exactly what happened. And there's no place for that. I call that a cheap shot where I come from. And that kid's defenseless. And there's no reason to do that. Not only is it a stupid play, it's a dirty play. And
but it's
in today's
a good rule.
College football, that's a great
it's
rule.
A good
You've
rule.
Got to defend those guys.
It is good. When he's back, everyone's going to give him a high five and everything like that. But he's a senior. He's played a lot of games. I'm not a big fan, never have been a big fan. But that's stupid. You got Mosley out, and then he knew what he was doing. He absolutely knew. He took three steps and took a shot at him. The ball was by him. He wanted to hit Pharoh Cooper, and he did. And then he wasn't surprised. He kind of walked off. Enough of that. It was a stupid play. Then you get plays like Wiseman, who's an upperclassman, and then there were just the concentration lapsed. Everybody was concerned about what they were going to do after the game. And I've seen it, the great Tennessee teams, I'd see it every year against Vanderbilt, Kentucky. You just figure out what happens is every single one of those players would tell you they were playing as hard as they could because they thought they were, but their bodies just weren't doing it.
No.
You trick yourself. You really think you're giving 100% effort or you're trying to convince yourself you are, but you're not.
Let me address somebody in Chattanooga, who's Brandon Dananuga on Twitter, who says to me, he thinks that me saying that last year Tennessee would have lost this game makes no sense. He said, your show is Negaval Central. How's that negative, Brandon, to say? Brandon, I don't know what your knowledge level is of this stuff, but the sign of a good team is to play at times, like Cinco's talking about, at times to throw up a C-plus type effort like Tennessee did for two-thirds of that football game and get away with it. And that's what they did tonight. They still won the game. I don't know how it's negative to come out and say that that's a step as a program. Obviously,
that's
a step.
I'll come out and say it. I'm glad they won. You're exactly right. But if Butch Jones is on the other line, I'm going to call it out. That was a piss-poor effort.
To the phones.
Piss-poor effort.
You're going to get Brandon upset. We're going to go to the
phone. I don't care. Bring it.
We're going to go to the phones, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in with us tonight. And Cinco's whispering, bring it now in the background.
I am. I'm subliminally trying to get him to.
And you know what? The bottom line with that fumble is we've had so much bad luck go against us. And that kid's trying to make a play from Carolina, and that is the way the cookie crumbles.
Well, but give credit. No, Alabama made a play against us, and Malik Foreman made a play. That was not lucky. He made a play. And that's what happens in these type games.
Go to the phones, get as many folks in here. Let's grab our phones. Hello and welcome to our first caller. Hello, welcome in.
How's it going, Tony?
Hey, welcome in.
Just a quick comment. I think it's what you call winning ugly. The idea is just win, baby. I think that's an old Raiders saying.
Yep.
Just win. I know it was ugly. I'll take it. I don't think we were ready to play tonight. I think you've said all season that every game the team has been ready to play. I don't think we could say that tonight. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know about that. You come out, you're up 14-0 before you turn around. You look flawless. You look flawless offensively. You look flawless defensively. On defense, you hold them to 104 total yards of offense in the first half. They can't do anything. You know, at some point, your guys on offense have to finish plays. Josh Smith has to catch a ball at midfield. Malone has to catch that touchdown. Josh Dobbs has to quit putting the ball on the ground. I mean, we love Josh Dobbs, but he got away with it last week at Kentucky. You get away with everything when you play Kentucky. You can't put the ball on the ground consistently, and it not cost you.
Five fumbles in two games.
Yeah, you can't.
Five fumbles in the last two games.
That's not going to work. That's just not going to work.
I was really surprised that Kamara fumbled. That one hurt as well.
Sure. Sure, and you know what? And we give Carolina credit. I give their kids a lot of credit for hanging in there. I give that coaching staff credit for adjusting and telling Tennessee, number one, and Kamara are not going to run all over us tonight. We're going to put extra men up front, and you guys are going to have to throw the ball to beat us. You're going to have to execute in your passing game. And you know what? It got kind of hairy there for a while.
Okay, I may give you the first 10 minutes we were trying, but after that, I don't think we were trying. We're not giving the effort. We have given a bad game.
Wow.
Moving on, just a quick question to both of you. Someone that doesn't know football that well, it seemed that a running game was not working. Were they putting extra people up front on the line to stop a run and saying, Josh Dobbs, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with a pass? Is that what was happening?
No, I don't believe so. I think what happened was, is that, again, I think we lost intensity and we were not executing. I mean, it's so true. You'll hear coaches say this. It takes 11 players on offense executing exactly right to make a play work, and just one player on defense can mess it up. And I think you just looked at every play and there was just a couple guys. You know, I thought Josh Dobbs had a horrible game. I know he had some nice passes, but he was not reading anything properly. But he just looked like he was going through the motions on the whole game for me.
Well, think of him fumbling the ball almost cost us the game a couple of times tonight.
Say that again?
Him fumbling the ball almost cost us the game tonight. The way he
fumbled. Oh, absolutely. I don't think his head was in the game. I really don't.
On the way out the door, this is my last question. On defense, it seemed that our defensive tackles were getting pushed around tonight. What was happening, and why has their defensive tackle play fallen off here of late? Thank you very much.
865-200-5402.
I'll say this about Dobbs.
Go ahead.
So Dobbs finishes 20 of 34, 255 yards and two touchdowns. If Malone catches that ball, and there were at least three or four other drops.
Yeah, I disagree
with
Sean.
He completes a high percentage, over 300 yards passing and three touchdowns.
I disagree with
he's got to feel the pressure.
The
pressure a little bit
change.
Better.
And he's a junior. He's played a lot of football. But I thought he threw the ball well tonight.
There's another one. I'm going to call Cam Sutton out. Cam Sutton loafed that whole game. The whole game he was loafing.
Let's go to the phones.
He just has that look now of, I'm a bad man, I'm better than anybody else, and I don't have to try that hard.
I'm going to lay.
He's got too much swagger. A swagger overdose. Just to tone it down a notch.
To the phones we go, get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. The place where you, the living fan of the star, hello and welcome.
I'll tell you, the only league Cam Sutton's going to go to is the bowling lane at Starlight Lanes on Broadway with the way he's playing.
Nah, he's a pro.
He has no situational awareness this year, not like he did last year.
Still,
how many times did we see that guy, Tone? He was turned every which way but loose out there. He had no idea where the ball
was. Well, I also wonder about the coaching he's getting at certain points. Why is he lining up on a third down play about 10 yards off their white tight end, the big turkey? Get up there and lock that dude up. What do you think, that dude's going to run by you? And he gives up a 10-yard play to him.
Just a sloppy, sloppy game.
Well, what's the play call there?
I was lucky to get out of there with a win. I was glad to get out of there with a win. I celebrate it.
Oh, no doubt. I got Nashville Mike in town. It was going to ruin our whole night. I mean, he gets despondent when we lose, Tom.
You know, Tennessee finished with 408 yards of total offense in the game, guys. They only run for 153 against a defense that was being gashed coming into the game. So
darn near half of that came in the first quarter.
Absolutely.
They went away from Jalen Hurd in the second half. I don't think it was so much with what South Carolina adjusted. They've got to start committing. When you've got a 6'4", 245-pound running back, you make hay with those guys in the second half. Look what the Titans used to do with Eddie George. Look what the Giants did with that big globe they had running around a few years ago. You got a big running back like that, batter him in the first half, and then you double down and do it some more in the second.
Hurd had 90 yards in that game, guys. How quiet of a 90-yard effort is that? Wow. He's a great player, by the way.
He's people, doesn't he?
Oh, he's a great player. When he injured that kid today, gosh, man.
About tore that kid's arm off.
I mean, he
is that Al Harris' kid from the Packers? Al Harris Jr.?
That's a great question. I don't know that.
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, he's got a broke shoulder, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, he's hurting.
Yeah, you don't want to go tackle Jalen Hurd around thigh level with your shoulder. So, anyhow, we look forward to listening to you guys tonight.
Thank you, brother.
No problem.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us tonight in your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction, Tennessee tonight hangs on for the victory. And I say it's a step forward for the program. And I say let's go back to the phones. And let's go and get our next call in. As we welcome in our next caller, as I remind you, portions of tonight's activity presented by your friends at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, in the business of providing exceptional service, unbeatable prices to all the Vol Nation and all the nation and all the world, even to the Florida fans listening to us today, who in front of about 15,000 empty seats today beat Vanderbilt to clinch their division. They really deserve it. They really earned it down there in Florida. They live and breathe it. Dalton Bearing sells both domestic and import hydraulic cylinders and components. Never going to hang you out to dry with no technical support or no expertise. Dalton has a knowledgeable, experienced staff going the extra mile to help you with your hydraulic supply questions and needs. Online at daltonhydraulic.com. Online at daltonhydraulic.com. And then the Smart Way component in that, as you move left or right on your radio dial. And remember, I want you to know that as I do a few reads here, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a process. This
critical process.
This is a critical, critical, critical process. Wes Rucker, with an excellent comment on Twitter that I agree with, he says, and this is what I was talking about earlier, that's the kind of game a Philip Fulmer coach team would have found a way to win back in the day. Back in the late 90s, that's a game Tennessee would have found a way to win. That's the point. You can go out there, throw a lot of stuff up that you can criticize and get critical with, but the truth is the game is about winning. And when you go to Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to win. You're going to win. Go smartway.net. Store is located 8416 Kingston Pike. And let me tell you this. It's your everything for your home. Pay your way. Home of the pay your way. Be smart, buy smart. Smart Way. You get the guarantee there. You get to pay your way. You can walk in there, anything for your home. Furniture, appliances, cell phones, you name it. You can get it on the terms you want to get it on. And you'll make the payments as much or as little as you want to make them. And you can change that agreement anytime you want to. That's why we call it the Smart Way. See what I'm talking about? Go smartway.net online. back first to the time, phones we go. Go ahead.
First time Tennessee has been 500 in SEC play since Lane Kiffin stalked the sidelines in 2009 in November.
Cinco, we're back, right? We back, Cinco? We're back.
Talking about people being negative, I don't have a problem with any of the coaching today. I disagree with that one fellow. I thought the players came out fired up. I mean, you had Medley look good. The first kick that Barry got, he almost housed it. Three and outs for the defense. We go up 14-0. We just went to sleep. I got no problem with the coaching.
And it happens. That's why it's college football.
Oh, it happens all the time.
And that's why I was saying I love the game. Because, Sean, here's the truth. You don't know. You never know.
Well, if you watch that Florida game, I mean, Vandy, until the last two possessions, when they literally peed down their leg. I mean, they had that game for the taking, and they just folded. They absolutely folded. Florida did nothing. Vandy just folded because of the pressure, and they couldn't get it done.
And last time I checked, Florida's hanging a banner. Let's go to the phones.
Well, and they deserve it. Good for them. They do deserve it.
Let's go to the phones. And by the way, if you're going to pull up and pop yourself up some popcorn and get you a little cold one, I want to say to you tonight to pull up a chair because we're going to do some Tennessee-South Carolina conversation while you watch the LSU-Alabama Classic. It's going to be a classic tonight. A Southern College football classic. But the truth is, the game is so great that tonight's game almost turned into, for South Carolina, a classic. As we get ready to go back to our phones, let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Tone?
Yes.
John, this is Chad. How's it going?
Hey, Chad. Hey, welcome Chad. In. You've got Russell W. Smith in studio as well. Go right ahead.
Guys, the first place I would go is this team, and it is part of it's the youth. They just don't have a killer instinct. When you look at every time we've gotten a 2-touchdown lead this year, we lose a little bit of intensity, and we don't finish our opponent off. Because when you get that third touchdown up on somebody, it breaks their wheel. And South Carolina, if we got one more touchdown up on them, this wouldn't have been a ball game. We wouldn't even have, there would be no complaining. We would be celebrating. I'm glad we got out of there with the win, but it really shouldn't have been that close. And I do agree with Sean that Malik Foreman, he made a play there. He punched that ball out. I mean, it was obvious he was punching that ball out. So we did make a play to win the ball game. But, man, that was just too close for my comfort.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can play the what-if game. What if that guy gets on the ground there? They got about 25, 30 seconds left. They may just score a touchdown there, the way that game's going. But they didn't, and that's the point. And, Chad, it's like us last 2 weeks ago at Alabama. You can play somebody off your feet. All that counts at the end of the day is a W and L, and you move on, and you get North Texas next week.
Yeah, there was a caller earlier that was saying the defensive line was getting pushed around. Owen Williams was...
he was dominant.
Totally
dominant.
Great. I don't know what he's talking about. I thought our tackle play was very good.
Yep.
That guy was a beast. I mean, he's kind of what I expected Khalil McKenzie to be. I mean, people weren't moving him an inch. I mean, they were just almost being deflected off of him when they were running into him. That guy... I'm surprised we haven't seen more of him this season. I know practically nothing about him, but he can play. Like he's a big time defensive tackle.
That's a great point, Chad. How about Vereen again, guys? That's three games in a row. He's had a pretty high intensity effort. Hey, you know what? Here's the thing about Carolina tonight, guys. At times they made plays. They have a capable offense. We've seen that. And we're still not there on defense. We're pretty good on defense. But we've got holes. There are still some crazy angles in our secondary, which is one thing I hope we address in the offseason. There are some crazy angles.
How about Foreman making that play? I mean, that's the first. He hasn't been terrible, but he's been just thoroughly average all year long. That's the first big play he's made all year.
It's a huge play. It's in a lot of ways, it's kind of a season saving, if I can use
it. It's a winning play.
It's a winning play. Great, great adjective.
And, you know, guys, I think, Sean, you were saying you wouldn't complain about the coach's effort, and I wouldn't as much defensively. I think we did have our breakdowns here and there, but, and maybe it's just the offense, but, man, sometimes watching that's very difficult for me, especially when we can ice the game and we run the stretch play with Hurd, which they saw coming from a mile away, and I can't remember what our second down was, but the third down, I knew it was going to be a Dobbs keeper, and so did everybody else. You ice the game if you get one first down. I mean, I don't think it would have made a huge difference if, you know, on first down, what if we did a little play action? What if we rolled Dobbs out, gave him a pass run option there, and iced the game? I mean, that was frustrating for me.
Now, the entire second half was frustrating offensively for Tennessee. I mean, they just did nothing. It looked like they didn't have any confidence in anything they were trying to do, and except for that one drive. You know, the touchdown drive, everything looked good, but I mean, that was the outlier in that second half.
Yeah. And you know, this is, in a way, this is the perfect thing for radio, Tone. This reminds me back of some of Fulmer's days, that we get an ugly win and it makes for the best radio, because we win still, but you know, we're frustrated. We won a little more, but there was just so much that I saw that we left out there. A lot of drop passes, especially the Malone one. We really are lucky, and we needed some luck. It's about time we got some luck, because we didn't get it in Florida. We didn't get it in Oklahoma or Arkansas or Alabama.
Nope.
So we deserve some luck. But, man, it really shouldn't have come down to that.
We were fortunate. We were fortunate in that Georgia game that T-Rob's nephew dropped that ball. And we're fortunate tonight. Yeah, hey. And, you know, I'd rather have good fortune, because you lose that game and Malone drops that ball, buddy, we are...
Well, that's the difference. Georgia drops that pass and loses, and Tennessee's correct. Able to drop that pass and still find a way to win.
That's why we're coming up. That's a great point. And that's why Alabama made us commit that turnover right there at the very end of that game, the one blemish. Same thing Carolina did tonight. When you're not ready to win, you're just not ready to win.
Isn't it funny, though, guys? And I was thinking last week... or 2 weeks ago with Alabama, I just really wasn't believing we were going to win that ball game. But when I watched Vandy in Florida today, same thing. I didn't believe Vandy was ever going to win that ball game. So, you know, losers lose and winners win. And Vandy was just not going to win that, just like we weren't going to win that Alabama game. And I hate saying that, but that's just kind of the way college football is.
Yep.
Hey, I love the show. I'll let somebody else get in there. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Butch Jones pretty fired up. He went on a mini rant, Cinco, when he got got to the podium about positivity and about being positive. So Butch is obviously piping in this show into the
I don't remember what game it was, but towards the end of the Fulmer era, I remember there was a game like this where they screwed around and almost got beat but won, and the media in the post game was just peppering him with questions, and halfway through Fulmer just looked at the media incredulously and said, "We won the game."
Right.
I guarantee you he's not saying that come tomorrow during film study.
Well, no, I'll tell you, he's better.
He's protecting his guys, and I understand that. And again, I'm not ripping. The only problem I have in this whole game was that the players got the big head after the two touchdown explosion right there, and they just put it on cruise control, and, you know, made a play at the end, and you're right. Good teams do that, and I think we are becoming a good team. But my concern was that I wasn't sure that we had that in us.
I agree with that. And we saw.
You're right. I mean, that kicker looked like he could make a 60-yarder with no problem whatsoever. And thank goodness for Foreman making the winning play. But we won, and we move on.
And how about our field goal kicker, 2 for 2 tonight?
Yep.
And, you know, there's some positive things that happen. Butch Jones said we need to get some problems corrected quickly, which we will. I'm happy for our players. And he used his patented term. He said, "We showed resiliency." And then apparently he went on a little mini rant. Maybe we'll grab a little portion of that later. He said, "Good teams find ways to win when they don't play their particularly best football." He's exactly right. He said Dobbs was out there playing banged up in the second half. He said he's a warrior. Let's go to the phones, and portions of our next little bit here. Pop you one of these open as you enjoy your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Go grab you a Moosehead, Canada's oldest independent brewery, proud sponsor of your fifth quarter. Why not? Because they like Tennessee football. Moosehead Lager, pure tradition. You know, they've been brewing, Moosehead has, they've been brewing fine beers for over 145 years. And their flagship brand, a golden lager, light in body, highly refreshing, a fine balance between malt sweetness and hop bitterness, kind of like a really good call on a post-game show. Made from age-old yeast culture, Moosehead Lager, brewed longer to impart its unique flavor. So answer the call and grab a Moosehead as I answer our next call here. And get our next call in on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Tony. How's it going, man?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, it's kind of a lot more positive than I am after this game. I don't think the game changed on Dobbs' fumble. I think it changed. You know, we had Hurd and Kamara both in the game early, and we're carving them up. And we had a 14-point lead, and we're driving the ball, had a fourth and about five on their 38, and we decided to punt because our head coach has a vagina, and he has no stones at all, and he went in full Oklahoma mode, and this was basically the Oklahoma game all over again, except South Carolina fumble going in for the win. I mean, you get the ball late, you can win the game with a first down, and you run it three straight times, just like at Florida, and you give him the same old script. He's not learned anything, Tony. And you can polish his turd up all you want to, but he's never going to win this league. It's not going to happen.
Wait a second here. First of all, he's in year three. We're not asking him to win the league. We're asking him to win the league next year.
I said never.
Okay,
never.
But hang on a second. Look, I love your passion.
We won the game.
First of all, let's go back here. Will you grant me this? In the first half, once South Carolina jumped offsides, thus giving us the ball back, did he or did he not attack downfield? And would not the Butch Jones of before have run the ball there and run the clock out? We did attack downfield, didn't we? I mean, are you going to give him credit for that or no? Does he get no credit for that?
I guess he gets credit for it. Why do you punt right there? That changed the whole attitude.
I agree with that. When you're on the plus side and you're in that tweener range and you're playing a team that can't play offensively and can't get out of their own way and their body language, as Cinco was saying before, you talk about a team with some bad body language, you go on fourth down there, fourth and five or fourth and six as it was, you punch them in the mouth there, brother, it is sayonara sukiyaki. I'm having the number four tonight at the sushi spot.
Yeah, he don't have it either, and that's my whole point. You know, we've seen this over and over all year. I mean, we heard the stat again tonight from the announcer. The rest of the country is 157 and whatever, and when we get a 14-point lead or more, same old stuff. He's not learned anything. I mean, we had twice the talent of South Carolina. There's no excuse for that. what we saw tonight, man, it's a joke. Pathetic.
I'm pathetic? To come out and get a gutty win like that is pathetic? Pathetic is losing to that team. Pathetic is absolutely, that would be losing to that team would be pathetic. I'm kind of encouraged by that game, that you could play that terribly and still win a football game. I think that speaks to you're getting better when you can do that. And realizing South Carolina is a team that their season's over. I understand that. We all understand that.
When are we going to stop falling asleep after three series of offense and just disappearing for the rest of the half?
Well, that's a charge that Sean makes about them.
I mean, it happens every game, man.
Sean, you don't think we did that tonight, though, do you? You said our coaching was good.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Look, I've torn a hole in Butch Jones's rear end all year. I'm putting everything in this game on the players. I really am. I mean, they tuned out after that second touchdown, and just glad South Carolina wasn't able to take credit for it. I mean, if you punt or you don't punt, I'm not going to argue with you, and I'm not going to try to tell you that Butch Jones is a great coach. I'm not, but I really didn't have an issue with anything that happened coaching-wise today.
So what do you have to say to that, Mike?
Our whole mentality changed after that part.
No question.
Our whole mentality.
Even if you had gone there and not gotten it. See, I agree with you. I'm going to err on the call. Here's where I'm at. If you watched any of that Arkansas game, and I'm flipping back and forth, the end of the Arkansas game, they have a 4th-and-25 miracle, okay? I'm talking like Mike and the Mechanics miracle just comes out of nowhere. I was expecting Al Michaels to show up and call the last little bit in the overtime. Dubsy, describe for the people that are coming in that are getting in their cars right now what Arkansas got away with.
Oh, man, it was awesome. They had a 4th-and-25 in overtime. And they complete about a 10-yard pass, and the guy is about to get tackled, and he just flips it blindly behind his head. It's caught about 10 yards behind by one of the running backs, and he runs all the way across the field, picks up the first down, and they score a touchdown to win the game in overtime.
No, they didn't win. They were going to kick a field goal to tie. They could have kicked that point, and they went for two. And
I saw the highlight just now.
Yeah,
the 4th-and-25 play was amazing.
And they went for two, and they got it, which is the point. The point is, that guy said, we aren't supposed to be here. See, I'm hoping, Butch Jones, you're still having a hangover from the Florida game to my caller friend here, and I don't blame you. I get it.
I just get tired of seeing this. We get something going, and then we run up to the line after getting the first down. We run this same old stupid play. We hand to Bob Hurd and right over Coleman Thomas, which cannot move anybody. He's great pulling, but he cannot move soul, and give downs away. You know, it's stupid. We play as Harlem Globetrotters style, fake, 7-on-7. Hell, you got a 240-pound running back. You've got Kamara, who's got great speed. I mean, we got talent all over the place. And the wide receiver core, can we get any less out of these guys? I mean, it's a joke, man.
Cinco,
the players played a piss-poor game, I give you that. But we do not get anything out of what we've got. We don't get anything out of it.
Anything? Yeah. I mean, anything. You mean at some spots we underachieve?
We underachieve, for sure. We, just like Coach Glanville said, we've got top 10 talent right now. And we are a fumble away from being, what, 4-5?
Yeah, but we're two plays away from being in Atlanta. I mean, just get real. Right?
Yeah, we're two plays away if our coach didn't have a vagina.
Oh,
that's
come
the whole
on.
Point.
All right.
I know we're not on radio now because that's the second time he said Butch Jones has a vagina and you blowed
him
you.
Up. Thank you for the call. I can't do that. But it's not necessary. And I understand you're upset. I get it. I get you're upset. I gave you a chance to talk. You can't talk about our coach and lady parts, okay? We're not going to do that. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt,
that's great.
In the mix with us tonight.
By the way, Butch said that Josh Dowd's banged up
a
little bit.
Yeah.
I don't care. He wasn't into the game. You know what?
Sean, he had six incompletions, and three of them were drops.
Let me tell you what. Stats are for losers. He didn't have great stats. He didn't have great stats at Florida, and he had a much better game against Florida than he did tonight. Stats are for losers.
By the way, Daniel Lewis, and I quote, what a weird press conference. Butch Wins goes on a rant about positivity after asked an innocent question early on. What Daniel Lewis and these guys in the media corps understand is Butch Jones goes out there like a politician. He's going to get his message across tonight. And his message is, guys, we'll get this fixed. We'll get this turned around. We got to keep looking. Look at the scoreboard. Look how close we've been. And there is a lot of truth to that. And I get where that caller is. I get where... that's coming from. Back to the phones
we go.
Can
we get rid of third down for what and replace it with the theme from ER every time Butch Jones, MD, goes out to check on an injured player?
Let's get it.
They've got like a team of doctors and like actually trained medical personnel, but there's Butch Jones taking over
hey,
and
guys,
taking control.
Guys, what's up with the how terrible the field is?
Yeah, but it was. I'm no horticulturalist or whatever you call it, but... I thought the Florida field was tearing up. It looks like this Alabama field's tearing up.
It's all wet.
It took on a lot of water,
it's
man.
All gray. Even these modern fields.
I mean, look at Alabama right now. That team's already chewed up, and it's 2 minutes into the game.
But it was a rough track, no doubt. Let's go back
sure.
to the phones. And it didn't help matters tonight. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tone. This is Bill from D.C. How you doing?
Hey, Bill. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing great. Before I say anything, I want to tell you this. Every morning, I get on the train to go to work and go towards the city. And I just want to thank you because I pull up your blog and I read it. And it is really good material. It keeps me up to date on the program, and I just appreciate that, man. I reading your bit, and then you put these guys on there, like the names Vault Colonel and Orange Throat and guys like that, man. It's really good reading, and thank you very much.
Hey, thanks.
I second that.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I just want to say, as far as the game goes, I think you and I are thinking alike here. I'll definitely take a win any way I can get it. And it was great that Malik made that play at the end of the game so that we could, you know, seal up the deal there. And it was just like I watched the Florida and Vanderbilt game. Vanderbilt, they shanked a punt in the fourth quarter. They, you know, right before Florida's last drive, I think he hit a 12-yard punt. And I think if that guy would have, you know, got his foot into it and got a 40, 50-yard punt, I think Vanderbilt would have won. But it's just, you know, it's just part of it. So, definitely take a win any way we can get it. One thing, I don't want to pile on Butch, but I was going to ask you guys about this. Wasn't it kind of odd that he called that timeout right before they were about to have a delay a game on that drive in the fourth quarter?
Nothing ever good happens after a Butch Jones called timeout. Ever.
That's right.
Yeah.
When Butch Jones calls timeout, you know something catastrophic is about to occur.
And it did.
Yeah, it did. It was just kind of bizarre because I think they were going to have to burn a timeout. They were like,
yeah.
There was like 2 seconds left
on
the play clock.
Yep.
And Butch, he bailed him out, man. He jumps off and called T.O. I was like, oh, no.
But in all fairness to him, he saw a defensive matchup he didn't like. They saw something. Somebody upstairs obviously got word down to him and said, hey, timeout, 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 timeout. We're getting ready to give up a score here. So, you know, that's one of those things where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. But I do know what you're saying in that. This guy's got impeccable timing, let's just put it that way.
Well, you know, wouldn't it be best if we just set up a little card table by the Gatorade deal and just put a couple funnel cakes, some sandwiches there, throw on some Netflix and just tell Butch, just sit down, man.
Chill. You just chill. You go recruit.
You chill out, have a cupcake, throw on some iTunes.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah.
Netflix and chill. We need to get him Dooley's stool.
That's right.
You can't not be relaxed when sitting on a stool.
Dooley
is a
fact.
What a moron that guy was.
Dooley is a stool.
He is a stool.
Anything else for us? My good friend in beautiful D.C. who takes the
train. Where do you live in D.C.?
You know, I live just... Are you familiar with Bethesda? I live just north of the city.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm from Springfield, just on the other side. Springfield, Virginia.
Oh, okay, fantastic. I'm a Tennessee boy. I went to University of Tennessee. Missed that area, but, you know, it is what it is. Last thing I'll tell you, you know, as far as the passing game goes, I think if we really want to compete for the SEC championship next year, this passing game coordinator has got to get this thing figured out. I mean, Dobbs, you know, he had a okay game, but he threw several balls that should have been picked, I think, personally. We just got lucky, and that's okay. I take the luck. That's fine. But somehow, some way, we've got to work this thing out because I think that the people, the personnel are in place. And the reason I say that is I remember Kirby Smart from Alabama, when we played them, he said, hey, we recruited most of their wide receivers, so we know they're good. And Alabama seems to get some decent production. I mean, they're primarily a running team, but they get decent production out of their wide receivers. So hopefully we can get that thing figured out here in the short term. So
thank you, bro.
That's all I got for you.
All right, man. Great.
Well, I'll tell you, caller, you have as much input into the passing game as our passing coordinator has in the passing game.
Huh? Interesting.
That is flat out a justification for a raise, and that's all it is.
865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight on your Smart Way Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. And we'd love to hear from you tonight at 865-200-5402. And
that's my buddy Bill Minot said on Twitter tonight, let's go easy on the groundskeepers, because as we all know, it takes 6 to 7 years to really grow a nice field.
Pretty good call. Pretty good line.
Well, remember last year it was awful. All brown and the middle was
torn up? It's been that way for years.
Yeah. They're painting it now. Looks a little better.
Okay.
By the way, LSU with a big stop on Alabama on fourth down. Alabama learning that LSU in the open field, they'll get you on the ground now. This is you ain't playing Mississippi Mistake tonight. This is serious business out here. This is a heavyweight matchup.
Grown man football.
We're going to go back to our phones at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. 24 past the hour. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, get on in here with us.
Yeah, this is Joey from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hey, Joey, great to talk to you. Home of Whoa.
Yes, Whoa. Hey, you know, I've not been in the state of Tennessee since 1982. But I've been a long time Vol all over the West, was in the military, we followed it all the time. So
thank you for your service.
A long time. We appreciate everything you guys are doing up there. But listen, two things. First off, what I don't understand is, we talk about it, I'm just as big a fan as anybody, but what we miss out of all this is the fact that what I see is that Butch and his crew, they can't make adjustments at halftime. We win everything when they have all week to prepare. But when something comes up at halftime, that's where we lose it. That's where they're having difficulties, is their halftime adjustments. We've never lost the first half since Butch has been here.
I agree with that.
So that seems to be the issue. The second issue is, and what I don't understand, with the running game that we have and the talent that we have on offense, why do we not use, with that running game, use it for play action? Vaughn Pearson, for the first time tonight, all year, was amazing. He was catching just about everything thrown to him. He was eating them up. Granted, Malone missed the one in the end zone on the play action where he double pumped, and that was a beautiful, beautiful thing, but we've not done that all year, and we don't use our passing game. We don't exploit the abilities of our running backs with play action the way we should. That's why our offensive aerial attack doesn't work, is because we don't do that.
A new wrinkle I'd like to see in this offense going forward, now that the board's here a year and they've got all these toys to play with and they have a full off season and they got a bunch of meetings that they have to get to in the off season.
It's critical.
A couple things I'd like to say. One, more use of the play action type stuff you're talking about. Two, use Kamara more in the slot. Three, implement some kind of fullback in your system when you're around a goal line. I mean, throw a new wrinkle into your offense. Throw the old schoolers like me and you listening to us tonight on Whoa Radio up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, home of your Comets. You know, throw us a bone here.
I don't understand. And here's what happens with most of us here. Most of us played high school football because we love the game. There's nothing like hitting and beating up on each other and playing the game and putting the pads on. So most of us, we understand the game a little bit, and I'm no coach. But when you've got something working, you just keep going at it. Until they stop you, keep going. And we don't. When we're winning, and we scored twice in the first quarter, we're up 14. We don't keep doing the same things. We change the way we play. I don't understand. If they can't stop you, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Never stop winning. Never stop winning.
Two critical spots in the game. Russell was talking earlier about that key drop pass. That's a critical spot there, because if that doesn't occur, it's a completely different game. That somebody's getting hammered. Maybe the decision to punt the ball on fourth down there when you're in between yardage on fourth and six, maybe you can point to that. And then the other side of it is, I give South Carolina credit because they went to their 12 personnel early in the second half, and it worked, and they stayed in it, and they were pretty successful with it. And I'll tell you what, that big tight end is pretty damn good, guys. That guy's pretty good.
Well, but you know what? There's all season long, you put number 82, Ethan Wolf, from up here in Ohio.
Great player.
Minster, Ohio, right around the corner here.
Yep.
And that boy, if you put him in the middle of the field, he catches a ball. He's the second coming of Jason Witten. That boy just catches football. And we'll hit him in the middle of the field for a 20-yard gain, and you won't see him for two quarters.
Little odd. I'll have to agree with that. Hey, listen, I appreciate your points tonight. I got to run along, get as many folks in here. Thanks for being there, brother, in beautiful Fort Wayne, and thanks for your service.
Always here. Always here. Go Orange.
Hey, thanks for your service, man. Yeah, go Vols, back to you as well. 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. Reset button here on the request line. Dr. Sean Sinclair is joining us through the magic of fiber optics. He's with me on Wednesday. Russell W. Smith is across from me, longtime radio personality here in town. Just launched his show over at a new spot this week. Russell, where can they find you? Where can they hear you?
SportsRadioKnoxville.com, AM 1340 here in Knoxville, and on your TuneIn radio app, weekdays 3 of 6.
I've been told by people this show is very hard to get into. I had a guy tell me, show me a phone the other day. He didn't tell me. He showed me a phone Tuesday of last week. He tried 54 times to get in the last week's show. It had the, you know how it has the, I guess he's got a phone that shows like the number of times dialed or whatever. I guess all phones do.
Oh, yeah.
Like on the call log. He said, look at this, man. Look at this.
Trying to get into the fifth quarter?
Yeah. 54 times.
You got to wait for
that right spot.
To hang up.
You got
to anticipate the hang up.
Yeah, because
it's on the delay.
It's on digital delay. That's right. So it's all tricky out there.
It's like anticipating the open receiver.
A lot of anticipation. You got to
leave the call.
You got to feel it. It's an important thing. Let me say word here about my friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. I'm going to tell you something. I had the great Carter, who lives in beautiful West Knoxville. We've been talking about these folks. Carter said, Tony, I took you up on that. He said, I've been getting medicines, shots in my knee forever and ever and ever, and the people there are going to get me finally off the medicine. They have made so much progress with me. He said, I've had this thing for over a decade I've been dealing with. Let me tell you something about these people. This place, John Cruz and Kloss, and these people are the real deal, holy feel. Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. I've been there, done that, got the program. They will teach you ways, whatever's injured with you. They're going to get you back to health, and they're going to teach you how to stay healthy. It's very important. Why don't you give them a try at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, 2260 Sutherland Avenue, 10sportsmed.com. Back to the phones we go. Alabama on the march with the football, and LSU, they will tackle you. It's going to be a great football game tonight. Anybody here gamble? Anybody know what the line is and the over-under on that game? Do you know, Dubs?
I don't know the over-under.
The total?
Bama's about a 5 or 6 point favorite.
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting tonight. I'm going to make a prediction for you.
Which Nick, I think is crazy. I think LSU is going to win this.
I do too. Nick Saban's going to be glaring at Pretty Boy by the time tonight's show ends. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Pie's on here.
Hey, buddy, get on in here.
All right. Hey, Russell, Sean.
Hey,
you got team in there tonight, man. You know what? The first thing I want to say, just win, baby. I mean, you know, it was a win. And at the end of the year, nobody's going to remember how this game was played. But, you know, when you're playing a team that's got nothing to lose, your last caller made some great points, Tony. I mean, he's right. You know, we got something that's working. I mean, it's almost like we play down. When we're down, we play up. But when we're up, we play down, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It's almost like tonight we played to the score. Because when we had to have a score, we went right down the field and scored. If you notice that, we did it twice.
Absolutely. And, You know, I don't know what Butch does sometimes, but, you know, we, you know, one good thing, our field goal kicker, let's give the guy credit. He hit that, and that's what won the game for us tonight. But I tell you guys, you just got to win. But I'm very worried about this Missouri game because they got a much better defense than anybody we played this year. And I don't know how many points they can hang on us, but if we go up there and just try to hang around, we're going to get beat.
Their offense is all-time brutal. We're going to see a couple of pretty good defenses here down the stretch. Vanderbilt's got a nice defense. Missouri has a nice defense. And by the way, we're having a listener watch party at Cassie's for the Missouri game, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But you know, at the end of the day, at the end of it all, a win's a win. So, I'll take
like
it, man.
Like I said, Tony, just win, baby. I mean, we won this game tonight. That would have been a game to lose. I'm watching this LSU-Alabama game, and I agree with you guys. I think LSU's going to win this game. As long as it goes and Alabama don't score, LSU will be in this ball game. But look what happened today. I mean,
crazy.
Vanderbilt was one bad punt away from winning that ball game today.
Yep. I'm going to tell you something. College football is a crazy game. You got to get out of there with a W. That's the bottom line. You got to get out of there with a W.
Hey, you know, hey guys, how about this one? How many times does it take a punter to screw up? Louisiana Monroe at the beginning of the year was about to beat Auburn, and their guy in court's like an 8-yard punt.
Yep.
And they only needed Michigan State against Michigan crunch time. The guy pees down his leg, throws the ball up, and next thing you know, I mean, that's a Michigan guy, throws the ball up, can't get it done. And then the Vanderbilt guy, there's no reason for him to just uncork a 12-yarder. It happens all the time.
Yeah, that was a 12-yard play. I mean, they put Florida right in a position to kick a field goal, but
with a guy that was like 2 of 9. Only Florida could have some guy that they have no faith in. And yeah, he hit a ball that looked like it came off the hand of Phil Niekro back in the day. Like some low-line drive knuckleball. What kind of a kick was that? It looked like he was kicking a rugby ball.
Well, it was terrible. I mean, you got to figure, that guy and the guy from Michigan State, you got to figure they're on the arm or something. I mean, this thing's almost like they're set up. But, guys, like I said, we got to win. And we got to beat Missouri, and, you know, Butch can, I just wish Butch could get out of his own way sometimes, guys. I mean, he just,
I think he's going to. I think he's going to learn. I'm hoping for
it.
Thank you, Paizan.
Tony, great show, buddy.
Thank you, Paizan. 865.
Why is it that Butch Jones, you know, messed up today, but McElwain didn't? And I'm not saying Paizan did. I'm referring to a caller before. I mean, you got the National Coach of the Year pretty much in McElwain, and he just skates through that Vanderbilt game. I think sometimes haters are going to hate.
Here's the bottom line. College football is college football, and wins are wins, and losses are losses, and people don't want to hear this, but you know what I care about tonight? We got out of there with a win, because believe me,
yes,
if we had lost, we'd be on here blasting our head
Absolutely.
Coach right now. But it is about, at the end of the day, is about winning games. And he has recruited enough guys that at the end of that game, when they had to have a play, they made a winning play. And yes, at the end of it all, that is the point. And people are getting mad at me. Some people are saying you're too negative. Some people are saying you're positive. I don't care what you think of me. I want to see the team win. I'm not here to grade you on style points. I don't like stupidity. I didn't see a lot of stupidity in tonight's game. I mean, I didn't like that timeout. That probably wasn't the smartest thing in the world.
Those two personal fouls were the stupid things that I saw.
Absolutely. But that wasn't coaching.
No. Not at all.
No. And
hey, our team was prepared, man. They were like shot out of a cannon.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. LSU is totally getting smothered right now by Alabama. Let me throw an observation that Glanville texted me at USYNCO, and you tell me. He says we cannot play man every snap with our secondary. He said they've got to figure out something else to do. They're playing too much man, he said.
I think our secondary has some of the worst technique I've ever seen, and I highly question their effort all year. I'm not sure how Martinez still has a job.
That's very subtle.
I like the play where South Carolina lobs it into the corner of the end zone, and the receiver has Justin Martin beat. He drops the ball, and then Martin gets up and starts celebrating with his guys like he broke up the pass.
Right. It's very, very sweet. I've always liked that. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. One line available if you want to get in. Again, 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402.